I've actually asked this question before, Guru Maharaj, please forgive me, but the first two, humility and pridelessness, I always struggle to understand what's the difference between the two. Could you? You've actually spoken about it on one of your podcasts before, but I just...
What did I say?
You said that humility is something that we have and pridelessness is more referring to something that we're without pride and with humility. But I find it difficult to see how the two are separate.
You said something like that. If somebody's not poor, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's rich. Like, pridelessness, being not poor, doesn't necessarily mean that one is humble.
Uh-huh. That's one aspect. They're similar, but humble is, in one sense, more than pride, because amanina manalina, not expecting any respect. So pride really means that, you know, you don't expect any respect from others. But Tinarabhi Sunichina Taruri Vasayishuna, it seems like almost pridelessness is an element of humility. But because it's such an important thing, it's highlighted on its own. Because pride is a very bad quality. Dambo, Dharapa, Vimana, it's a demoniac quality. So one should really strive to be free from pride. And the way to become free from pride is not only not expecting respect from others and offering respect to others, but then the other aspects of humility, practicing this.
Guru Maharaj, you mentioned about how these are qualities that we have to practice to acquire knowledge, and also they are symptoms of one who has acquired knowledge. And I was thinking sometimes one is taught not to try to be artificially humble, but just let the process work, and then humility will develop. But should we still try to act humble? And
that's not being artificially humble. Yes, yeah, yes, we should. We should act humble. We should curb our pride. We should be nonviolent. But well, don't be artificially nonviolent. Just go around being violent, and then imagine the process.
How do you feel?
it's crazy. Tolerance, simplicity, all of these things are things that you cultivate. Well, you know, artificially being humble means you make a show of being humble. It's not something that you need to make a show of, because then you're not humble if you're making a show of it. But you should definitely practice it, and by practicing it, then it becomes natural.
Does the same also apply for the 26 qualities of a devotee, that we shouldn't just wait for these to come, but we should actually try and cultivate them?
Yeah. They will come, but part of them coming is that we want it to come, and we try to cultivate them.
And to practice not eating more than necessary.
Certainly. Accepting the importance of self-realization. You have to make it a priority, even though you have other types of inclinations. If you then say, well, you know, just let the process work and don't take it so important, make it such an important thing, don't make such a big thing of it. But no, we do. We do cultivate these things. And by that we invoke the modes of nature that are conducive for that, and therefore these things become sort of habitual. And as they, just like you got bad habits, so they become good habits. And then when the heart becomes really pure, then the good habit actually transforms. Then the good habit becomes replaced by our nature, by the natural qualities of a devotee, which are the same as a good habit, except that one is a product of the mode of goodness and the other one is spiritual. So, by all means, we should make an effort.
So when we hear the expression that a person is fixed in knowledge, it means that this person actually has these qualities, is manifesting these qualities, these symptoms.
It depends. Sometimes there's different ways in which fixed in knowledge is expressed. Fixed in knowledge can really refer to certainly someone who's realized this fixed in knowledge. On the other hand, someone may be well-versed, and yet he may not be Brahma-bhuta, he may not be spiritually situated. He may also be fixed in knowledge. Someone who's in the mode of goodness may also be fixed in knowledge. But he's not spiritually situated. Again, he may also be even someone who's devoid of bhakti, or even a gyan mishra bhakti, he may be fixed in knowledge, but at the same time, not all of these things. For instance, the unalloyed devotion to me may not be there. So often you may meet people, you may meet my bodies who are very fixed in knowledge, and from their learning and austerity, they have a certain sort of standing, a certain presence. I guess you could call it a spiritual presence, but they're not at all fixed in knowledge of Krishna. But still, sometimes they can be accredited to being fixed in knowledge. But here, the essence of everything is constant and unalloyed devotion to me. And if that's there, then yes, the other things will come. But one should not ignore making an effort for these other things. Because they constitute angas of bhakti, the underlying principles of devotional service. So, detachment, freedom from entanglement, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest. So, vairagya vijara nijbhakti roga, the vairagya, and those are regulative principles. These are facets of detachment. You can't say, oh, let it come naturally. It may not necessarily be there. We may not necessarily be detached from sex life, but we keep a certain level of detachment in terms of our conduct. Otherwise, our attachment will increase to it. We'll never become detached. So that's why we have no illicit sex. All right, and then beyond that, there can be regulated, but if you go beyond that certain boundary of cultivating this quality, then you'll become attached. Humility, pridelessness, if you don't cultivate them to a certain degree, you'll make offenses. And then you'll destroy your spiritual life. So no, there's no question of just things come naturally of their own accord. There's a minimal level that everyone needs to be cultivating these activities, over and above which, then yes, it will develop. But if you go below that, then it will be pratikul, it will be productive, counterproductive for your spiritual life. You won't be able to advance spiritually. So this is again, these are principles of jnana yoga, but they're also integral in devotional service. Anything on that?
Sure. It sounded that the it's answered the question very nicely. I'm just not sure if there's anything else I have to ask at that point. Thank you. Thank you. Do you want to say anything?
I read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada says that by reading about Radha Krishna's pastimes, one's heart becomes free from mundane sex desire. And Prabhupada also explains how reading about descriptions of Krishna's pastimes with Madhur Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, then mundane attachment to children is decreased, and one can become free from it. And similarly with friendship, Krishna's friends and servitorship. So I remember you telling me how attachment to children goes deeper than any other kind of troubles or problems I had. So I wanted to ask you if you could maybe speak a little bit about this. I don't know if it's a proper question.
Once again, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest. So here the word is entanglement. Mm-hmm. Let me just look at the word for word. Asakti, ana, being, vi, sangha, without, being without association, putra, dara, grihadishu. So he says, don't be entangled. Freedom from entanglement. So how do you become entangled in a relationship? You become entangled in a relationship when it's materially based, when it's based on I, me, and mine, when it's based on the body. So as long as we try to be aware of the fact that here is a spirit soul with whom I have a relationship, as a mother, as a husband, as a friend, and so on, or as a daughter, and I have that awareness, just like here. I sort of cultivate that awareness. I don't become overwhelmed by the bodily attachment and the bodily connection, which comes from that type of relationship. Then one enjoys the relationship. The relationship is there, it's personal, but at the same time it doesn't become a source of entanglement. So recognizing that Pandita Samadarshana, having that equal vision, it's my dog, of course a home, isn't doesn't have a spirit soul, but then we see that this house is not mine, it's Krishna's property. So having that type of spiritual perspective keeps us from being entangled, although this natural attachment, a natural relationship. So once again, it's sort of the bottom line in what one needs to have in being in that particular role, that in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness, fine. Just like when we talked about controlling sex life, then there's a bottom line. Similarly, when we have relationships, it's not that one doesn't enjoy any type of personal interaction, affection, and so on. But one should try to maintain that awareness of that this is actually, there's a spirit soul in that body, and my responsibility is to bring that person closer and closer to Krishna, especially when we're talking about children. And in that way, therefore, by practicing Krishna consciousness, one becomes purified because one is open to and doesn't shut oneself off to the purificatory effect of Krishna consciousness. So same thing. If there's unrestrained sex life, you practice Krishna consciousness, it's very, very difficult or impossible. Similarly, if I just, you know, I'm blind to the spiritual identity of other living entities and have relationships with them, that's very difficult for me to actually become detached from those relationships. But if the relationships have a common strata of Vidyavinaya-sampanne, of seeing them as spirit souls, seeing them as servants of Krishna, and that my interaction with them as mother and father and so on is my service to them, then that keeps me open to further development and advancement till it becomes more than just some kind of mental exercise, some kind of effort that I'm making a certain aspect of my sadhana, but that it becomes realized, and that becomes the dominant thing, that my son, like Bhakti, you know, Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur, he didn't relate to Bhakti Vinod Thakur as his father. He saw him as a spiritual master when he was his father. So why? Because they were on the spiritual platform. And so he realized Bhakti Vinod Thakur's exalted position. And so maybe they're playing a role, just like so many people may be playing a role, but ultimately on the spiritual platform, their identity is completely different. So on the spiritual platform, Bhakti Vinod Thakur is Kamalamanjari, and Bhakti Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is Nayanamanjari. Where was the question of being a father? So, same thing. Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami was walking through the forest, and Vyasadeva called out to him, Putreti tamayate otarvobidetis, Putreti, oh my son. Shukadeva Goswami said, who's he talking to? And that's why the girls, they made a difference. He says, you're still identifying with the body, but he's not identifying with the body. You're calling him your son, but he doesn't see you as his father. He doesn't even see us as women. He just sees us as spirit souls. So we try to have that understanding, and of course it may be not maybe a constant thing that, you know, all the kids are speeding around on their bikes and you're just thinking, here goes the spirit soul. But like with other things, you know, we remind ourselves, we remind each other, and then by doing that, then we avoid deep entanglement. Mm. That doesn't mean we avoid attachment, because attachment's natural. Mm. But we avoid entanglement. And then ultimately, we see that actually this type of affection, parental affection, really has its original pure focus around Krishna. Because the residents of Vrindavan, they had children, and they loved their children, but they loved Krishna more. And they didn't hide it. They loved Krishna more. So that's ultimately, we need to be like that. Yes, I have affection for my children, the Vaishnavas, but the Vaishnavas, they're under my charge, I have responsibility to them, but I love Krishna more. I just need to go out. Let's just go out to the bathroom.